And welcome back to WSHIT's Entertainment News. I'm Paul Pettingbuddy, and every weekday morning, we're covering everything from Hollywood to Bollywood and anything you can stuff in the middle. We'll call it like we see it, whether it's hot or it's not. Open up your ears, we're stuffing it in the slot. Many Crabapplians woke up this morning to find that singer-songwriter sensation Garth Brooks has jumped on the advanced technology bandwagon and posted a video on Facebook. Garth, of course, a frequent visitor to Crabapple, a noted fan of local favorite dessert the Crabapple Surprise, and client of Manny's Manhandle Massage Parlor. Garth took to the so-called social media to introduce himself to the relatively small audience and to let fans know exactly what he would be up to. Color this reporter skeptical, but many experts are calling for this type of technology to be the way we consume entertainment moving into the future. Well, it's 2025, and I still much prefer a Betamax, a hot bucket of popcorn, and a cool, refreshing Zima on a Friday night. I'll pass on dialing up anything named Facebook. Let's listen to what Garth had to say about this new platform and how he intends to use it.
Well, I guess it's official. We're now on Facebook. I really wasn't sure about this at the start. But then a friend of mine said something that just made all kinds of sense. She said, think of it more as a conversation. I like that. But I'm already finding out on my own. So it's wiping the walls out between you and me, and I really like that. It allows us into each other's worlds, or I guess in my case, the hotel room. When I think about things I want to post cool stuff, slick stuff, neat stuff. But most of the stuff I'm going to post is going to be raw stuff like this. Because it's just who I am. So if this is truly a conversation, then I say let the conversation begin.
Well, you can't say Garth's a man without a plan, although I did much prefer his Christopher Gaines era.
I mean, come on, who didn't think Christopher Gaines was neat? Garth has simply been on the forefront of everything that has ever been neat.
I guess we can all be assured that if Garth is on the forefront of technology, very little of anything could go wrong. We'll keep up with Facebook and with Garth. Let's take a moment and hear a word from our sponsors, and then I'll be back with the story about Corey Feldman and his seventh wife. After this, commercial break.
Neat stuff.
On this episode of the commercial break.
Parents didn't like Red Hot Chili Peppers, therefore the kids loved them.
Yes.
But I like my rock stars without coffee that has live venue accessibility, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's
douchey.
Yeah, it is.
If you're going to be a rock star, be a fucking rock star. Don't team up with Live Nation to ensure live venue accessibility. That is the cockiest thing I have ever heard in my entire life. And I stand against all that it represents.
The next episode of The Commercial Break starts now.
Yeah, cats and kittens, welcome back to the commercial break. I'm Brian Green. This is my dear friend and the co-host of this show, Chris and Joy Hoadley. Best to you, Chris.
Best to you, Brian.
Best to you out there in the podcast universe. Thanks for joining us as we inch yet another step closer to the 12 hours of TCB. I got the bubble guts. I'm all sweaty. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I do know one thing. 5-Hour Energy will be right by our side. The official sponsor of the big birthday bash for TCB, 5 years, 6 seasons.
Makes sense. 5-Hour Energy, 5 years.
5 years, yeah. 5-Hour Energy.
Plus we need to stay up for
but
12
I
hours.
Did some math, and we'll need to take 2.32 5-Hour Energies to get through the 12 hours
okay.
of TCB.
Thank you
so
for
there
doing
you
that.
Go.
Thank you for mathing.
Yes, I mathed it. I mathed it out, and since we have plenty of 5-Hour Energy, I think that'll be no problem to accomplish that. Anyway, we'll be here, and we're super excited. We hope you'll be here, too. May 31st, Saturday, starting at 10 a.m.-ish. Might be an hour early, might be an hour later. Just depends on how all the technical stuff works out here at the commercial break.
So we'll also figure later.
Yeah, just stay tuned. Go to our Instagram at the commercial break. Make sure you're following us. And on YouTube, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak for all the pertinent details and information. I never was a Red Hot Chili Peppers fan.
Really? Never?
No, never. Nope.
I had my moment.
There are a few songs.
Blood Sugar Sex Magik?
Many people in my circle of friends just adored that album, but I never owned it, and I never thought it was all that great. Although there were a few songs on there that I could get into, it was never my thing. I don't know why. I just was never
into it.
Give it away now. I can did to get did my mama. I can did to dip 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 papa. I can dip 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 papa.
Flea's autobiography is very interesting.
I don't know. Now I'm sleeping with a girl named Jewel. I don't know. Who knows? I don't know. It's all hocus pocus, alamagosa. Under the bed sometimes, and I get my love. Under the bed sometimes. I don't know. I didn't like the way he danced. I don't know. I just like the whole vibe wasn't for me. That SoCal Red Hot Chili Peppers funk vibe, funk rock, grunge funk rock, whatever the fuck you call it. It didn't strike me in...
Wasn't your thing.
Wasn't my thing. Just wasn't my thing. No, you know, no offense to anybody likes it. And I saw Red Hot Chili Peppers 3 or 4 times live. I could say that they put on an okay show. Anthony Kiedis, I don't think, was ever the best live singer. But Flea was magical.
Yeah, Flea's really good.
Chad was wonderful on drums. And then they oftentimes, I think they had another... what was his name? They were switched guitarists.
Yeah, there was a guitarist in there.
Yeah, but anyway, over the last couple of years, I've started to read articles about Anthony Kiedis specifically that don't shine the best light on him and his romantic proclivities.
Yeah,
let's put it
I've
that way.
I've heard some of the same things.
That he is oftentimes seen with girls that are inappropriately young. Mm. There have been girls who have come out. There has been old video of him on MTV appearances and places like that where it's just clear maybe he didn't or doesn't have a ton of respect for the females around him. They seem kind of more like pieces of meat, so to speak. Anyway, that's for you to digest and for you to figure. I don't think there's any accusation that he's like sleeping with underage girls. I think he's just like dating like 19-year-olds, you know, or he started hanging out with them when they were 17 and then dating them when they were 18. And he's like 58 years old. I mean, the guy is up there in age.
Now, yeah.
Well, now he's announced that he's going to make a brand new coffee in a can company for everybody to digest his wonderful coffee in a can. He's gotten to that age.
Kiedis Coffee?
Kiedis Coffee. It's going to be called Dish by Anthony Kiedis. It's called Jolene? The fuck? Jolene.
If anything, that's Dolly's coffee.
Yeah, that should be Dolly's coffee. But, you know, he's, let's see, Mark Rapino, the CEO of Live Nation, and James Morrissey, the founder of Global Brands Equities, are combining their expertise with all the partners to ensure both consistency of the product along with unparalleled degree of live venue accessibility.
Oh, God. Okay.
This is the most hokey-pokey, alamagokey bullshit I've ever seen in my entire life from a bona fide rock star. Now, there's one thing we can all agree on. It's that Red Hot Chili Peppers have never exactly been ones to play it by the book. They've always kind of been on the outer edges of pop music.
True.
Right? They've been edgy. They've showed up on Rolling Stone with their dicks in socks. I mean, that part I could always...
I forgot about that.
Yeah, do you remember that?
Yes.
And they had amazingly large cocks, all of them, apparently, because they could hold up a sock with their cock. If I put my sock in a cock, it'd have to be one of those no-show socks. Yeah, if I put my cock in
the
sock, the no-show socks. But they were wearing, like, the old high-top sock cocks, and they had their cocks in the high-top socks. And they were rocking that cocking and that socking. I'm telling you right now, that stocking was rocking a cocking because you go back and look at that cover. It was, first of all, ingenious. Second of all, it was amazing how big apparently their penises were. But, and I always felt a little bit insecure about that as a teenager looking at that cover. But they were always kind of on the edges of what was mainstream cool, right? People liked them, but they were known to have a little bit of... je ne sais quoi, if you will.
Yeah, the parents didn't like them.
No, parents didn't like Red Hot Chili Peppers, therefore the kids loved them.
Yes.
But I like my rock stars without coffee that has live venue accessibility, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, that's
douchey.
Yeah, it is.
If you're going to be a rock star, be a fucking rock star. Don't team up with Live Nation to ensure live venue accessibility. That is the cockiest thing I have ever heard in my entire life. And I stand against all that it represents. I have the Constitution. Now, if Live Nation came to me and asked me to do a drink called Carla and it have live venue accessibility, well, I'd do it. But no one expects me to do anything different. I'm broke. Anthony Kiedis has money. He doesn't need live venue accessibility. Can I get a Jolene, please? Now, what kind of live venue is this when you don't have accessibility to Jolene? Coffee by Kiedis. Who thinks they're going to the fucking tabernacle and ordering themselves a Jolene? Hey, man, we're going to the knackle to get ourselves a couple Jolenes.
You want a Jolene?
Yeah.
Can I get you a Jolene?
Well, there's only one venue in this town I'm going to. It's the one that serves Jolene. If it doesn't have live venue accessibility, I'm not showing up. I'm not a sellout. I only go to Jolene venues. What a ham hock crock of crap this is. I swear to God. I'm pissed. You don't see the Who out there making a fartarita in a can that they could sell at the fucking London Opera House with live venue accessibility.
Yeah, at least go tequila like everybody else is.
Yes. Do what everybody else does. Make a bourbon or a tequila. And then don't strike up a deal with Live Nation to put out a press release about live venue accessibility. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. It makes you sound like a cock. And along with all the
cock
other...
Cock and a sock.
A cock and a sock. And then of all the other, like, kind of more shitty stuff that's been noted about you and your relationship to females, it just all combines to spell huge sellout. You were always in it for the money in the first place. You were always in it for the accoutrements, not for the creativity. And listen,
well, not anymore.
Yeah, not anymore. Well, I don't know if ever. I mean, once you do Blood, Sex, Sugar, Magic, Jolene, then...
Well, how did the name Jolene come about?
Don't know. It doesn't say. It's just like...
Strange.
Yeah, it's another fancy...
I'd rather it be Kiedis Coffee.
I'd rather be Kiedis Coffee also. And I'd rather that Kiedis Coffee be available at my local independent coffee shop, even Starbucks, for God's sakes, than Live Nation-related venues. Yeah. I mean, like, it's just... And I can just smell it now. Next year, tour around the Live Nation venues that carry Jolene. Mm-hmm. The Jolene tour that everyone's going to go on. It's so stupid.
The Jolene tour.
It is a level of grift and sellout that doesn't accompany my idea of an insider, outsider, independent, rock star, rap star, pop star, whatever you want to call it, star, that kind of like fights against the bullshit, or at least takes a stand against the bullshit a little bit. Like, that's, you got a platform. You don't have to be overly like vocal or political. You don't have to fight every battle for everyone. You don't even have to fight any battle for anyone. But if you're going to sell out, do it like normal rock stars do, you know? I mean, Live Nation's already got you in a stranglehold. I understand you got to play ball with them, but you don't have to make a drink called Jolene and then ensure live venue accessibility. That is so stupid.
It really is.
To associate yourself with even the press release is kind of sickening. It just makes me that. I think I was always right about Red Hot Chili Peppers.
You might have been.
Now, Flea and Chad, I like both those guys. Yeah. I think they're great. I actually met Flea one time, briefly, and he was very nice. I mean, for the 3 seconds he had my attention, I had his, he was very nice. And
yeah, he seems like a really nice guy, and he's very in touch with like his spiritual side. And I don't know, the book, his book was great.
Yeah. He's one of the better bassists.
He took a lot of drugs really yes. young and then, you know, moved on.
Blew it out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did I. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, not so young, but, you know,
yeah.
I took a lot of drugs very young, and then I continued that through most of the rest of my life. But then at some point, I just decided that's it. I did that. I'll get back to it after I retire.
Yes.
You know, after the kids are gone. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
When I can look like an idiot. When I can make my coffee company, Jolene. That sounds like an idiot. I guess I'm just disappointed is the word that I would use.
Yeah.
I hate to see when people sell out to that level, grift to that level. But that is what 2025 is all about.
It
it's
is,
one
sure
giant
is.
Grift. Mm-hmm. We are all grifting each other spiritually, emotionally, financially. It's just as long as we can get ourselves a little bit better on the backs of someone else. And we like it's completely selling out is so in vogue right now. It's completely grifting is so in vogue right now. And that is kind of, yeah, who said this to us the other day? I can't remember. And it's probably coming up on the 12 hours. You'll hear this on the 12 hours as we are doing the interviews for the 12 hours. But someone said that the 90s was the end of civilization.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of humanity. Like the 90s was pinnacle humanity, right? And it's only been going downhill since then. It was kind of a depressing view, actually.
It was.
But I will say, I got the point. The point was taken, right? And we've all just like consumerism, capitalism, and the getting ahead at everybody else's expense has just really accelerated. And now it's just corruption in plain sight. No one's asking questions. We're all just used to it. We all just go, oh, okay, all right. $500 million jet? Yeah, that's cool. We'll take that. And listen, I don't want to get political about it because it happens on both sides of the aisle. Mm-hmm. All of them. All of us. And I'm not even excluding myself from that because the truth is that we're all just trying to get to that, I don't know, that place where we feel magical and powerful and whatever. And I guess if you got to put some crappy, shitty, cold coffee in a can and call it Jolene and make sure it gets to all the live venues so all the kids can be hepped up on it when they listen to your now, then I guess that's cool. I guess that's what we do now. That's why I like my Eddie Vedder.
He needs to do a red wine.
He does. But I, yeah. Chrissy and I get into this debate. This is the funniest thing. This is funny, actually. We'll talk about this just for a second, even if for briefly. Yes. Chrissy comes in to record a couple of days ago, and we're still kind of like, you know, glowing from the Atlanta Pearl Jam concert that we went to and had exceptional seats with Jackie Beans from a favor from one of Jeff's friends who got a favor from the band, essentially. So we're like gifted these tickets from the band or someone close to the band that are just beautiful, and we see Pearl Jam put on an excellent show in an excellent venue in an excellent location. Just one of those magical moments that you have in life where you go, holy shit, doesn't get much better than this. But live music wise, it certainly doesn't. And so, you know, we're still kind of chitting and chatting about this. It's fresh on our minds.
Yeah. And I had some friends who went to the Pearl Jam show in another town.
Nashville.
Yeah. And they had a blast too. They had so much fun. They did not have nearly as good as seats. But, you know, I think when you're seeing Pearl Jam though, it's just
If you're there, you're there.
Yeah. And it was just so fun. But they did come back talking about how you know, there was Eddie was drinking his red wine.
Eddie fell off the wagon. He was back on the red wine.
Yeah.
That was the kind of the gist of the conversation.
Right.
So Chrissy says, you know, yeah, but I heard Eddie's off the wagon because he was drinking some red wine. And I go, what wagon was he ever?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
And they sent a thing out saying too, like from Google that said, Eddie Vedder has been sober for 16 years.
Yeah, so I say to Chrissy, so like we're going back and forth, and I'm like,
so I was just laughing with my friend saying, well, if you're going to fall off the wagon at all, like Nashville's the place to do it because they had Peter Frampton come out, and it was a big deal.
So I say, hey, listen.
But Brian's like, no, he's
what?
not. He's not sober.
I've seen these guys like 30 times, and I've never seen Eddie without a bottle of wine in his hand.
Yeah, and I was like, well, I didn't think that he was.
Yeah, and so I started sending like screenshot.
It's on the internet.
Yeah, screenshot after screenshot after video of every show that they've done.
It's at 11 last night.
Yeah, it's at 11, and I'm sending like – the thing that Eddie does is he drinks wine during the show, and then he'll pass the bottle around out into the crowd. People will take a sip and give it back to Eddie. Like, he's at that level where he doesn't give a shit about the spit. He's so intoxicated by the whole scene yeah. that he's handing the bottle out and giving it back. And at our show alone, he traded the bottle that he yes. was drinking to somebody for like a Brave shirt or something. I can't remember what the shirt was, but like a local sports shirt. And then when at the end of the show, he brought out a bunch of champagne, ended up popping bottles on stage to celebrate Matt Cameron's yes. second induction into the Hall of Fame. So I'm like, Chrissy, he is not sober. Like, I don't know who's getting this information. Then I Google it, and it says, Eddie Vedder, known to drink wine at every live show. He loves red wine. It's telling you what kind of wine he likes to drink at his shows.
Yeah, and Pinot.
And then Chrissy's like, I just saw it on Google. And she sends me the snapshot, and then I Google, Eddie Vedder sober. And it's like, yes, Eddie Vedder has been sober for 16. And I'm like, what the fuck? Eddie Vedder's not been sober for 16 years. That's not a true story. So Chrissy said something, it was so true. The age of misinformation and confusion. Mm-hmm. You can ask Google and it can give you two different answers based on one word that you put in there. Completely different answers. Eddie Vedder, not sober, not in the traditional sense of sobriety. If by sober you mean I only get drunk every night, then yes, I guess you're sober.
And we figured it's not hard drugs anymore.
Yeah, I think it's hard drugs that he abstains from after, you know, being a rock star, right? I don't know what his story is.
It's Eddie Vedder sober instead of California sober.
Yes, instead of California sober, it's Vedder sober. It's Seattle sober.
Seattle sober.
Yeah, he's Seattle sober. It's yes. coffee, cigarettes, and wine. Yes. That's what he does. And listen, if you're going to drink something, drink the wine, I guess. It's got some
health
benefits, I suppose. Gives me a fucking headache. But, I mean, it depends on what kind of wine and when I drink it, but sometimes it gives me a headache. But I used to be a huge red wine drinker. When I worked at that trattoria, it was Chianti Classico 24 fucking hours a day. Brian, we need to order two more cases of Chianti Classico.
That's probably
why. We only sold one bottle. What happened? I'd be like, me and Raphael, that's what
yeah.
happened.
While we were cleaning up.
Oh, my God. We drank so much of that.
We cleaned up.
We cleaned out the Chianti Classico. Yeah. I dropped a box. I remember one time I was like, I dropped a box. I didn't know what to say. He knew.
That's
he knew
probably why you get headaches now, because your brain, body was so used to the
yes,
Chianti Classico.
The shitty red Italian table wine that we used to drink. Like, this is the kind of stuff they give to kids when they're real young yeah. to get used to table wine. It's just vinegar, essentially. Right. Yeah. Shitty vinegar that gets you drunk if you drink enough of it. But anyway, so I was like, you know, clearly Eddie is – I have seen these guys a lot, and I have never seen Eddie without a bottle in his hand. As a matter of fact, and you can back me up on this if you were there, the first concert that I saw Pearl Jam at, maybe – I can't remember if it was Lollapalooza or the Fox Theater. It was one of those two. But the Fox Theater here – maybe the second. I don't know. I don't know how chronologically it went. But the Fox Theater here in Atlanta, they played Saturday and Easter Sunday 1994, I think it was. Okay,
I got that picture.
Yeah, that's right. It's somewhere around here. Yeah. So Lollapalooza would have been the first time. But anyway, so when I saw them, the show was an hour delayed. And when I asked someone who was connected to the event why it was so late – he said because they were trying to find the wine that Eddie wanted to drink
yeah.
before the show. He was trying to get a vibe on with a specific wine, and they had to run around town in Pearl Jam traffic trying to find this specific bottle of wine. The guy has always had a bottle of wine in his hand. And
those demands really happened, by the way. I've really gotten
absolutely.
To see all of that with Jeff and
yeah.
the artists.
Absolutely.
Certain kind of candles. Certain wines, certain foods,
yes.
certain things. It's a thing.
Here's a little story right before we go to break. So a couple of months ago, the idea is floated around. I'm not going to get all to the details. It's kind of like a little too far behind the scenes. But an idea is floated around that you and I should go into the Odyssey local studios to record celebrity interviews and special events in their studios so that we feel comfortable we have a space to invite celebrities.
Yeah,
that's
like
not
that.
My actual fucking house,
yes.
Right? Which Astrid is like already said is an absolute no-no. I'm not having celebrities or tabloids or limousines or whatever happens, right? And plus, with Blue and my kids here, it's just not a place to bring Tom Papa. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not. Reggie, maybe.
Reggie, yeah, I could see that. Reggie, Rosebud Baker, you know, people who might have that vibe going on at their own house where they go, oh, that's just normal. But so it's floated around. Okay, so then we're going back and forth about the logistics of this. And someone sends an email to me and says, okay, tell me more about what you would need and what a typical rider would look like.
Right.
The and riders. I was like a rider with like request. I
for
mean,
us?
For us and or celebrities.
Okay.
And I was like, I don't, a chair? Chairs? Chairs? We could do it some chairs. I was so taken back by that question.
If you're telling me we've got a rider.
We don't have a rider.
No. Let's get to the studio.
Let's go. Why are we recording here? Let's go there.
Yeah. Closer to my house.
Yes. I'd like a masseuse.
Whatever I want.
I'd like a masseuse. Chrissy needs wine.
The red wine.
I need Wine Brian 3000. but anyway, so maybe in the future.
Tanning bed visits.
Tanning
place
bed.
Next door.
Yeah. I want a tanning bed is what I want.
Yes.
Not next door. I want it right there in the studio. So in between recordings, I can just go in there
just
and freshen up the tan. Yeah. I want to be red as a rainbow. I want to be red and ready for the next guest. I'm just glowing.
With that burnt skin smell.
Yeah. I want that blooming onion smell when they come in there. I want to smell like a fryer. I want you to be able to dip my fingers in awesome blossom sauce and take a bite, and it'll be delicious. That's what I want. That's the kind, that's the level of tan I need. Golden brown. Anyway, stay tuned. That looks like it's going to happen. But no.
It's promising.
No rider. I didn't negotiate that. I said possibly a ride from the hotel. Like for the celebrities, a ride from the hotel. A few sodas. I mean, unless Tom Cruise decides to show up. Or any better. Like, what could I possibly... Yeah. I don't think the level of our guests... I mean, maybe. You never know.
Maybe
somebody would request, like, hair and makeup or something like that.
Yeah.
But I think I'm just going to have to say, not that kind of show.
Well, I think it would be on a case-by-case basis, I guess.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I made it clear that I don't know. But
right.
For us, no. For us, no. Well, because I know that if I had asked for anything...
I can't believe he said no.
What did you want me to ask for?
Wine.
Wine? Wine.
And some charcuterie.
Dear corporate overlords, we would like to be drunk as a skunk and a huge liability.
Look, it's going to be a new environment. I'm going to have to, you know...
Get drunk?
Get used to it.
I'm going to have to be hammered. We would like to be a huge liability to you and anyone in the office by walking around with
one bottle of vodka.
Okay, one bottle of vodka. I'll tell you what, I'll pay for it and I'll hide it under my chair until after the interview is over.
Oh, I'm kidding. But that sounds fun, have a rider.
Yeah, well, it does sound fun to have a rider. I'll have to ask our agent to whoop one up. I think he'll go,
he will laugh.
Yeah, a rider, sure. Sure. What kind of air do you want to breathe
just
when you get
on LegalZoom?
Yeah, get on LegalZoom and get that. You can't even afford to have me think about a rider, let alone write one. So, what kind of air do you want to breathe when you get there? I'll be happy to write that in. Oxygen? Yeah, sure. No problem. They need oxygen. Heating and air conditioning. Lights. Carpet. Lights, carpet, action. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back.
You'll make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock. Hi, cats and kittens. Rachel here. Do you ever get the urge to speak endlessly into the void, like Brian? Well, I've got just the place for you to do that. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. Feel free to call and yell all you want. Tell Brian I need a raise. Compliment Chrissy's innate ability to put up with all his shenanigans. Or tell us a little story. The juicier, the better, by the way. We'd love to hear your voice, because Lord knows we're done listening to ourselves. Also, give us a follow on your favorite socials, at The Commercial Break on Insta, TCB Podcast on TikTok. And for those of you who like to watch, oh, that came out wrong, we put all the episodes out on video, youtube.com/thecommercialbreak, and tcbpodcast.com for all the info on the show, your free sticker, or just to see how pretty we look. Okay, I gotta go now. I've got a date with my dog. No, seriously, Axel needs food. Today is pork chop day.
There is a video, like while we're on the music Anthony Kiedis thing, there's a video going around. It's a pretty brilliantly done video from a guy. I don't know. He talks about music on his Instagram and TikTok. And he's explaining that Prince, who, in case you're wondering, I'll tell you right now for a fact, is one of the best guitar players that has ever lived.
Oh, hands down.
He's incredible. He's a virtuoso. He's a prodigy. He knows the guitar like he knew the guitar, like the back mm-hmm. of his hand. He didn't even have to look at the guitar. Go look at his Minneapolis. Sorry about that. Go look at his Minneapolis live Purple Rain from like 1984. There's like a.
And then the Hall of Fame.
Well, that's what I'm going to get to. So it's like like that Minneapolis where he mm-hmm. plays in front of this crowd at a park. And there's like 100,000 people there, and they do like this 22-minute version of Purple Rain, and 11 to 13 minutes of it is guitar solo, and not a moment of it is uninteresting. Because, you know, sometimes so good. You get into those long guitar solos, and it can get really like monotonous and repetitive. You got to know when to stop a guitar solo. And there are three guitarists that I have known that are really good at these very long guitar solos. That's Slash. That's Trey Anastasia from Phish, and that is Prince.
I would add Jack White.
Okay, I've seen Jack White too. Yeah, he can go too. I mean, I'm sure there's lots more to add to the list.
Yeah, we got.
But there's like my three personal.
I mean, Led Zeppelin, but
yeah. But I've even heard a couple of Jimmy Page live guitar solos go on a lick or two long. Mm. David Gilmour might be thrown in there from Pink Floyd. But I've even heard a couple of his licks go on too long. Eric Clapton, a couple of his licks go on too long. But I've never heard a Prince lick go on just a little bit too long. He one time, the last concert that he did, I think, was at the LA Coliseum. He had done like 20 nights in a row at this old Coliseum in LA that was going to get closed down. He was trying to save it. So he did all these live concerts and sent all the money, and like the 19th of the 20th night or whatever, he did like a 40-minute Purple Rain. And
incredible.
Even though it did get a little long in the tooth, it was incredible, right? He just kept it going. It was going and going. People were... Anyway, so Prince has been a virtuoso for a long time. He's just simply one of the better musicians that has lived in my time, that I've been alive during his time. A lot of people think Michael Jackson would be one of the other better musicians that has lived in this era or lived in the last 50 to 100 years. And some people might put James Brown in there also.
I do love James Brown.
He certainly was one of the better live performers. Yeah, for sure. His energy was unmatched, powered by Colombian marching powder 90% of the time. But, you know, whatever. I couldn't dance like that when I was on cocaine. I just wanted to be at home under a rock. So good for James Brown. Yeah, with my whiteboard. I wanted to be by myself with my whiteboard, maybe my friend. And being left alone for the most part in my own paranoia and despair. So James, Michael, and Prince met on one fateful night in 1983 at a James Brown concert. And some people believe that James invited both Michael and Prince, who were in the crowd, up to have their moment on the microphone. He's essentially handing the, he's like
passing the baton.
Passing the baton. That's a great way to put it. He's passing the baton onto the next generation, saying these two are two to be paid attention to, because this is early on in their, relatively early on in their career. So they were known. They certainly weren't the superstars that we would, they would become in the mid to late 80s, early 90s. Anyway, in this show, something happens where Michael just kind of clearly outshines Prince. And some people believe, as per this reel, that that started a lifelong yearning for Prince to be recognized as one of the great musicians, and that it was 25 years later, 30 years later, at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction for who? For the Beatles, right? Yep. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
Or
was it Paul McCartney?
Paul McCartney or George Harrison, one of the two?
George Harrison. Yep.
When My Guitar Gently Weeps, yes. When Tom Petty and a bunch of other like huge rock stars are out there playing this, and all of the sudden Prince, uncued, takes the last guitar solo and wails.
Just goes nuts.
For like 6 minutes.
It's so good.
It's incredible.
I've watched it so many
times. You have to watch it. It's incredible. And you can tell that the other musicians on the stage are not only in awe, they don't know what's going on, and they just keep playing. Yeah. They just know the best thing to do right now is just let that guitar be on fire. Let it sing. Just let it sing. Even Tom Petty. Emotionless and the kind of like a guy who didn't wear his heart on his sleeves, you could tell there was just like a wry smile on his face as he knew what he was doing was witnessing history.
Yeah.
But so this whole story goes on Instagram. This guy puts it together beautifully, much more beautifully than I just did. But I was like, wow, I have to see this moment that caused Prince like so much, like, I guess, despair, this moment when he was supposed to shine and he never shined, that caused him to really feel like he had to fight or he had to prove himself to the world. And if you remember, there was a moment in the 90s and maybe even the early 2000s when Prince was a little bit of a joke. He did like that whole Batman thing. He changed his name to the symbol. He was putting out all of this kind of weird, I like some of it,
yeah,
but not everybody did.
I always liked him, but yes, there was where people were kind of like,
oh, Prince, yeah, the symbol, Prince. Yeah, formerly known, the guy formerly known as Prince. It was kind of a joke at one point, I remember. Not him being the joke, but like his musical career didn't go like Michael Jackson's did or James Brown's did or a lot of the other, or Madonna's did. It kind of went a little weird. It took like a left turn and then a right turn, and then he was doing Batman, you know, Batman. So let's take a listen. You want to take a listen to this?
I do.
Let's take a listen to this moment. 1983, James Brown concert. James in his full sweat, hair a flying.
Bouffant.
He is probably so fucking high you can't even see straight. And I'm not saying that being disparaging of James. He would tell you that if he was here today, right now. Yeah.
Let's give another standing ovation for a young man sitting behind you that you have no idea who's in the audience. Michael Jackson. Roll Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson. Michael Jackson.
And there's Michael. Sunglasses. Mop top hair. I think this is post Pepsi commercial. Is this post or pre Pepsi commercial when he burned his head?
But yeah, he's got the jacket, the
army, like weird Sergeant Pepper jacket. Yeah.
Award show?
I don't know. I don't think it is, but maybe it is. Was that Kevin Nealon? Michael's walking through the crowd trying to get to the stage, and there are some maybe celebrities. No, No, that just looks like a bunch of people in 1983. They're all 18 years old. And they're like, they're 42. 30, exactly. Yeah.
This might have been pre-Pepsi Burn.
Yeah, I think it might have been pre-Pepsi Burn, but definitely that he was going in the direction of
yes,
like changing his looks,
appearance.
Yeah.
Okay, he's doing a little James Brown.
He's doing a little James Brown. Moonwalk. Mm-hmm. He gets a wry big applause, and then he smartly decides to bow out at stage left. Yes. That's what I would do.
He's giving James a hug.
Yeah, he's giving James a hug. I would go out in a high note also. I'd be like, that was it. That was good. I love you. Yeah. See you later.
Moonwalk and all.
Yeah. I love you. Stage left. The whole crowd high on cocaine,
they'll
bouncing along.
It.
Yep.
Look at that woman in the blue pantsuit.
What's
she's
that?
Getting down.
Oh yeah, she's
the
getting
woman
down.
Woman in the blue pantsuit.
Fuck yeah, she's half an eight ball in. So okay, so he leaves.
Where you at, Prince?
Where at, Prince? Prince?
He's looking all around.
Was he right? What does he look like? I got to take a break. I got to hit my bullet. Meanwhile, that band is just chugging along.
Oh, that
along.
Band. Yeah. Yeah, a great band.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so here comes Prince. All right! Okay, Prince
He's
is in his little
full
ghetto.
Full regalia as well.
Yep. Okay, they're giving him a guitar. Picking up the notes. I think he's talking to the bassist and he's saying, what are the, you know, what are the key? What key are you in?
Well, first of all, can I say that the previous video that we were watching was clear
and
great.
Because
switched to like a VHS beta.
Here's part of the reason why he was mad is because that his appearance was cut out of the show. Whatever this was broadcast somewhere.
Okay.
And his appearance was cut out of the show because, according to somebody, his performance was not as electric as Michael Jackson's. And you can tell it's not as electric as Michael Jackson's. He's playing a little ditty. He's got one note. He's just kind of jamming along. And now he's like, you know, trying to pander to the crowd a little bit.
Oh,
and he takes off his shirt. Okay, let's go for that. Yeah.
I thought he was going to take off his pants, too. He's just pulling him up. Well, that looks pretty electric.
Listen, we look back on it now.
Yeah.
And we think it's electric because we know Prince as the superstar that we know him to be, right?
Okay.
Okay.
Maybe it was too racy because he took off his shirt.
Maybe. And the other thing that we missed in this particular version of it that I have seen, I have now researched this and seen other versions of it, but it was just like a little bit too long to get into, was that what you don't see is that the way that he got to the stage is he was carried on the back of a guy that used to do this for him, like a big white guy, huge, 7 foot whatever.
I saw that guy.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
It showed at the very beginning.
So apparently, this is how Prince would walk around. Like at award shows, he was known to be carried to stage by a big white man. Hey, listen, I love it. I think it's great. Okay, now that's it. That's all he does.
Okay.
Right? Okay, he takes off his shirt. He pulls down a lamppost that is a stage prop that he obviously thinks is secured to the floor, is not. And he falls off stage.
I think he was trying to swing around.
Yeah, there's the big guy that carries him around. Okay,
that's
now
pretty
they
funny.
Have, now they have to run and chase him and give him his jacket. So you get it. Like, I mean, you know, Michael took one half a minute and electrified the crowd, and he took stage left. He took the cue, right? He knew the assignment. Prince, although we would have died.
He was ahead of his time.
Yeah, we would have died to have been there.
Yes. Oh,
and that moment, it felt like he got up, acted a little goofy, and left, right? That was it.
Mm-hmm.
And according to people who were there, who knew him, who were privy to this kind of information, he always felt, like me, I'm privy to this information. He always felt that this was like Michael outshined him, and they cut him out of it, and he never got the respect that he deserved, and he wasn't and.
Mm.
And then 30 years later, he blows everybody away playing As My Guitar Gently Weeps in front of all these other rock and roll gods, and guess what? A star is born, or was already born, but a star is solidified. Prince, one of the greatest guitar players that ever lived. We'll be back.
Why don't you text us? And we can text back. And then you can text us in reply. Then so on. It's a fun little game I've been playing. And I think you'll be great at it. 212-433-3TCB. That's 212-433-3822. You could leave a message, too. If you do, maybe you'll end up being the voice of the show. But be warned, the pay is not great. You could go to the website and drop us an email also, tcbpodcast.com. And while you're there, you can get a free sticker. Who doesn't want a free sticker? Just go to the Contact Us button and ask for one. Follow us on Insta at The Commercial Break and watch the episodes at youtube.com/The Commercial Break. Now I'm going to go back to that texting game. You want to play? Come on. Bye.
I'm sure you've heard the name Theo Von before.
Yes.
Theo is a fellow comedy podcaster who's got a very popular, very popular podcast called, I think it's called This Past Weekend. Theo is a former MTV reality show star. He was on Road Rules, I think, and he kind of parlayed this funny, southern, quirky, weird talk thing that he does into, I mean, he's very interesting to listen to. I have to say this. Theo's very interesting to listen to. He's got a very interesting way of speaking. He's always got an interesting way of looking at things. He's had his former troubles with drugs and alcohol and all this other stuff. And he's parlayed that into kind of this, you know, No Holds Barred podcast that he does, where he brings on very interesting guests, and he's had some of the biggest, most famous people in the world show up in his show, up to and including Donald Trump during the last election, which a lot of people gave him guff for. I thought it was one of the less position-y kind of like a promo type of appearances that Donald did on some of these podcasts and what were like pejoratively calling the manosphere, the podcast manosphere. I got a soft spot, I think, a little bit for Theo. I do like his show. I like to listen to what he has to say sometimes. And he's a fellow podcaster. And so in probably the more traditional sense, where he's run through some of the same networks we have, had some of the same troubles that we've had. And as a matter of fact, Theo got screwed by one of his former podcast networks in a very big and public blow up that one of these networks had.
You talking about that.
Yeah, they financially left a bunch of people high and dry. And so we know what that can feel like. And I wrote him, and he wrote me back. I wrote him. He made a video about it. This is a couple of years ago. He made a video about it. And I wrote him and just said he was fighting for the – he's like, listen, I'll be fine, but it's all these other podcasters, and I'm really upset for them, and I think someone needs to speak out on their behalf, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I just felt that was good of him to do, and I let him know
that was nice.
And he wrote me back, and so a brief conversation. And so, you know, you connect with someone personally on any level, and you have a little bit of an affinity for them. But all that said, here's what I'm not even going to preface it. I'll let you have your own opinions about this. Theo had on Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, God.
The extraordinarily strange alien that started Facebook, the Politian that came down from outer space to start FaceSpace and now owns Instagram and Meta and Metaverse and
WhatsApp.
Right? Yes, WhatsApp. I think you're right about that. And a bunch of other companies that are certain to do irrevocable harm to society, children in general, and probably the humans at large. Mark is a strange human, no matter which way you look at
it. Yeah.
And he's kind of a success at any cost kind of guy. And I think if that's not clear from just looking at Mark and hearing him speak, then you're not reading in between the lines. And there's a lot of in between the lines to read with Mark, because he is a one very odd motherfucker. Now, there's lots of odd motherfuckers. I'm an odd motherfucker. There's no knock against being odd. As a matter of fact, it can be kind of cute when you're odd. It's original. It's interesting. It's independent. But I just don't know what to make of Mark Zuckerberg. Mm-hmm. And I don't think Theo knows what to make of him either, quite frankly. This is a really strange interview. It gets less strange as it goes on, but the beginning of it is just almost tough to watch. And so while I don't love breaking down other podcasters' podcasts, I thought that we would just take a minute to listen. Look,
I thought we were gonna listen to Prince, but we'll get back to that.
You wanted to listen to My Guitar Gently Weeps?
Oh, well, no, I thought that's where we were going with that last segment.
No, because it's copyrighted, and I most will not be
everybody
able to play
go
that.
Listen to it.
Everybody
though,
go listen to it. YouTube it. Yeah. I can do the other one because I'm making commentary on it. If I play copyrighted music that's on Spotify making money, then I will certainly get knocked for it. So go watch My Guitar Gently Weeps. All right. So Theo used to have a setup like this, like we have right now. And then he went to the table and chairs like we went.
He flipped. Yeah.
Only Theo didn't even paint his table.
Just plywood.
Yeah. He put the TV behind him with a roller stand. He's got the exact same setup we had. The exact same setup. It's kind of crazy when you think about it. But I mean, listen, we also took our idea from someone else too. So it's not like
we didn't have the fake plant in the back, but
no, that's an interesting look. Okay. All right. Here's Theo and Mark Zuckerberg. Look at Mark. He's like, do I have to talk to human beings?
Coffee man or no?
Nah.
Beep, boop, bop, boop, 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 boop.
Nah.
Do you drink coffee, man? No, I do not. He's got those damn glasses on that records everything, too. Fucker.
Really?
Oh, I didn't even think about that. Those are the Meta glasses, huh?
Oh, yeah, they've got to be the Meta glasses. Yeah. For sure. He probably records every single thing that happens in his life, because he's got to, like, you know, right. It's like Mark Cuban with that microphone mm-hmm. on his chest.
I mean, you've had it.
I have. Sometimes on vacation, I'll drink it recreationally.
I'll drink it recreationally. Is it Jolene?
Sometimes on vacation, I decide to go crazy and have Jolene. It's accessible at all venues. Checking database now.
Once in a while.
Just like a yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Listen again.
Like a yeah, it's like a celebration.
Yeah, no.
It's, really?
Yeah, no. I just like hate anything that messes with, like I don't like any kind of chemicals or anything like that.
I don't like anything that messes with my mind, so I made Facebook and Instagram and Metaverse and Google Glasses.
Oh, really? So you like to keep everything the equilibrium?
Yeah, my sister gives me such a hard time about this. She's like, you're just sitting there raw dogging reality.
Wow. It's kind of true. Like,
what so necklace you, like, does he have you, on too? It's an interesting choice.
Had it before, yeah, but you just don't like it.
That's the one that him, Elon Musk,
is it a locket?
Jeff Bezos and Donald Trump wear. And when they get together, they become the fantastic fro bros. It is a locket. It's probably a self-destruct button. Yeah.
So when you get up in the morning, that's not your thing? Like, is there something you do?
No. Yeah. I mean, I wake up and I fight people.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I wake up in the morning and are...
This is why we have no traction on Instagram, is because Brian... Brian doesn't stop talking about Mark Zuckerberg.
True. You
know, it might be. Uh-huh. You never know.
Hey, I mean, we should get this.
Yeah, we're going.
What's up? All right.
Oh, good. You mean you wake up and do jiu-jitsu, you mean?
Oh, yeah. Is no, I mean, yeah. So I probably wake up like, I don't know, 7:30. Whenever like the kids start making noise around the house, it's like, all right, sleep is done.
Yeah.
And then
can
like,
you imagine being his kids?
I can imagine being his kids.
Whoa.
A life of hell and torture and opulence.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You are never going to know a normal day in your life.
No.
Never. You live on like a 1,000-acre estate in the most pristine part of Hawaii that your dad essentially just robbed from people. And you're never going to not fly in a private jet.
Uh-uh.
Your every moment is going to be looked after.
Probably have security.
Oh, you definitely have security.
It's like, I look at my phone and I'm just like, all these things that these people are doing, like, you did what? Are you fucking kidding me? It's like, I have to go fucking deal with this. It's like, like, it's like this partner, are you really? God damn it. All right. So, and then
he's trying to make himself seem normal, but it's just, I just have a hard time connecting. I have a hard time connecting with one of Earth's richest people who at every turn makes a decision to make it worse.
It's like, I compose myself and go fight for 2 hours. Like recenter myself, then it's like now I can go deal with the stuff.
I literally try and murder somebody for 2 hours, and then I go, okay, now who else can I murder? I got to give credit to Theo here, who handles this pretty coolly, because I don't know that I would do the same.
But no, it's
so that helps. It's almost like your coffee in the morning sometimes, like rolling jiu-jitsu kind of.
Yeah, and I mean right now I'm doing more striking. So, I mean, that's really fun. I think it's like the greatest sport. I mean, it's like neurologically stimulating. It's, you know, it's good cardio, good strength.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of a threat, right? So it keeps you on, you know, it's not like just like running. I used to like run around the neighborhood, but running is not that thrilling.
Running compared to jiu-jitsu is for running is a, running is not.
Yeah, that's not the same.
What you can do jiu-jitsu.
No, it is not the same at all. And I get what Mark is saying is like when you have when there's a threat that you could get hurt, get knocked in the head, get, you know, kicked in the balls, whatever it is, then there's this level of fight or flight that keeps your nervous system on high alert. I find...
Like anybody would actually hurt him, though. I mean, their pain.
Okay,
pain.
So... I got to say, I watched the whole interview, and obviously we're not going to go through the whole interview. I watched the whole interview. I think Theo does a good job of handling Mark. I think he's trying to make Mark's on this tour to make himself look more personable, and I think that's why he's showing up at places like Theo Vaughn and Joe Rogan and
is
these other
recent?
Places. This is recent. This is like a week and a half ago.
Oh.
But I do have to say that the more that he talks, the more I have a hard time connecting with the life of Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, yeah.
The plight of Mark Zuckerberg or empathy for Mark Zuckerberg. I just don't have it. I think Mark has the power and the ability to do a lot of good in this world, and I'm not sure that he thinks any of it should be his responsibility. I think he actively chooses not to make a decision, and that is making a decision, mm-hmm. right? Okay, all right, so let's move on from that. Theo, the other day, and this is why I even thought about showing this video, that Theo, the other day, I saw was in Nashville. Uh-huh. He's in Nashville. He's at a bar. He's hanging out at that bar for whatever reason. He's hanging out at the bar, and there's a group of people that are there for a birthday, like a, you know, male and female, 12, 15 people, whatever. They're at this same bar on Broadway?
Mm-hmm.
Music Row?
No, Music Row is another part of that.
Okay.
The downtown is Broadway.
Downtown, but, yeah. Somewhere in downtown. And one of these big bars, you know, multi-level, huge places. Yeah. And Theo's just there. He's just there hanging out. And there's a group there, and, you know, they say hello. He says hello back. And then, you know, then some other guy comes over, and Theo kind of, you know, hey, whatever, and turns around, goes back to it. And then the guy keeps, you know, comes up with some birthday balloons in his hand.
Is this just being filmed?
It's being filmed by somebody in the group.
Oh,
and
okay.
I imagine what they're doing is they're trying to get a reaction, a rise, or a conversation out of Theo in this bar. And this goes on for just a little bit too long for Theo's liking. Mm-hmm. And you don't know what's said because he can't hear. It's from a distance. But Theo turns around and grabs the guy by the throat and pushes him back about 10 feet. And then Theo takes his hat off and he's ready to go, right? He is ready to go. And this guy is like, what the fuck? You know, la, 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 yada, yada, yada. I have to say, Chrissy, I am so happy that the chance of that type of interaction ever happening to us is zero to none.
Yes, yeah.
Zero to none. No one recognizes us in that manner. And I think that when people make a calculation in their head, they see a Theo Von at a bar on Broadway or whatever it is, they make a calculation in their head that says, is this guy worth, let's say, going to jail for, but is this interaction going to be worth the social media credit that I'm going to get to make me want to continue this bit, this bothering, this fucking around, this pestering, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you know us, then there is zero chance that you're ever going to think you're going to get enough social currency even saying hello to us, let alone bothering us. Chrissy, we are in a safe zone.
Yes,
we are not Mark Zuckerberg. We are not Theo Von. We're likely never to be. We are just two dumb, relatively unknown podcasters who on occasion get the credit we so rightfully deserve, which is none. And
on occasion, you can pass by the dumpsters of the local grocery store and hear someone listening.
I was telling someone yesterday, I said I literally parked on the side of the Kroger near the dumpsters. And I was walking around the corner and there was a guy sitting at the, like, you know, company picnic table.
It's so perfect.
That's chained to the ground, the smoking section, and there is someone smoking a cigarette, and I hear my fucking voice, and I'm like, what? And as I'm passing by, I see on his phone that he's listening to the commercial break, and I'm like, wow. Do I say anything? No, because I don't want to have to put anybody in a throat lock like Mark Zuckerberg or Theo Von. I will say this, though. Mark definitely has security. Didn't look like Theo did, but Mark definitely has security.
Oh, God.
Did you see that cryptocurrency CEO? Him and his daughter were walking down the streets in Paris, and they almost got kidnapped. If it wasn't for some good Samaritan, they were literally trying to dress. There was like 10 guys got out of a van, black hoods, the whole nine yards, like something out of a movie, and tried to drag them into the van. And he's like the CEO of like a $1 billion crypto business.
Ransom.
It was really, really scary. I'm actually glad they're okay. I guess super proud that some other human being decided to step in when the time came. And the father fought like hell. The daughter was like in her 20s, but he fought like hell not to get in that van. And he held on to his daughter as tight as he could. So,
jeez.
Yeah, scary.
We don't have to worry about that.
I literally walked by the guy while he was listening to the show, and he didn't even say hello.
No.
That's the level of fame we're at. We're at the level of fame that even when you know us, you don't want to say hello.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that too.
I like it.
I like that too.
I'll take a rider. And
a rider
and no fame. Yeah.
A rider and no fame. Yeah, I guarantee we walk into those Odyssey studios, no one's going to pay attention to it.
It'll be at midnight.
No, I'm expecting no to do when we walk in. None. Zero. Yeah. Who are you? What are you here for? Oh, you have to go up the service elevators.
Yes.
All right. The 12 hours of TCB, the big TCB birthday bash coming up May 31st, sponsored by Five Hour Energy, booked by CTB, Covert Creative, and our good friends at Odyssey. Please join us. Make this worth doing. Please make this worth doing. Make it worth doing, and we might do something else cool. It's all up to you. Like I tell my children, the decision is yours. Does this happen again? Decision is yours. Decision is yours. TCB Podcast on TikTok, at The Commercial Break on Instagram. You want your free sticker? You want some swag? You want to keep up with the comings and goings of The Commercial Break? You want to join our mailing list? We will soon be doing cool stuff with our mailing list.
Okay.
Yes. So going back to the mailing list. Why not?
Yeah.
Let's go back to the thing that wasn't working in the first place. We're at the point now where we've tried everything. Let's try the things that weren't working again. Yeah, why not? All right, join the mailing list. Drop us your information, your email, and your physical address at the Contact Us button. We'll make sure we get you all the info and a free sticker. Oh, I never told the story about the free stickers on the coupon site. Oh, I got to do that.
Yeah, that was funny.
Remind me. Okay. Yeah. 212-433-3TCB, 212-433-3822. Questions, comments, concerns, content ideas, we take them all. And you can call in and be live on the 12 hours of TCB. Just text us and we'll let you know how. Okay, Chrissy, that's all I can do for today.
I think so.
I'll tell you that I love you.
I love you.
I'll say
best to you.
And best to you out there in the podcast universe. Until next time, Chrissy and I will say, we do say, and we must say,
goodbye.
Bye. 30!